Welcome to Evolutions Per Minute. I'm your host, Dan Seif, and this is the podcast that explores the connection between hip-hop and jazz. These two art forms, created by Black American artists, share a lot of the same DNA, but the stories of how they're connected haven't really been told. So many hip-hop songs sample jazz records, and in most cases, the jazz and hip-hop artists have never even met. Each episode of Evolutions Per Minute, I will bring together these jazz and hip-hop artists for the very first time to talk about these two styles and learn about how these genres are related. This is Evolutions Per Minute. On this episode of Evolutions Per Minute, I will bring together for the very first time hip-hop producer and artist Large Professor with super producer Larry Mizell to talk about Looking at the Front Door, which samples Donald Byrd's Think Twice, produced by Larry Mizell.
It's just an honor and privilege to speak, man, speak to you, man. It's that music is, it drove me, it's still driving me, man. Like, I'm good, man. I'm good. I ain't got nothing to say.
Thank you, man. Back at you. And that particular record was so clever.
Looking at the Front Door by Main Source was released in 1990.
I'm looking at the front door. Baby, I'm looking at the front door.
The song was on the first album by Main Source, Breaking Atoms, and it was a number one hit on the rap charts. And Large Professor wrote, produced, and performed that song. He went on from there to become one of the big heavyweights in hip-hop, work with Tribe Called Quest, Pete Rock, Nas, and a whole lot of others. Looking at the Front Door samples Donald Byrd's Think Twice, which was produced by Larry Mizell. Donald Byrd was really a bebop, traditional jazz trumpet player, and he played with Art Blakey, Thelonious Monk, John Coltrane, and also is the person that discovered Herbie Hancock when Herbie was in his 20s, and brought him to New York, and that's where his career started. So Donald Byrd started out doing much more traditional jazz, but in the 70s moved into doing these funk and soul records like a lot of other jazz artists did at the time. And Larry Mizell and his brother Fonce Mizell produced these kind of records, these like instrumental and sometimes with vocal soul funk records by jazz musicians. So this record, Think Twice, is by Donald Byrd, but it's really a Larry Mizell production. So on this episode, I brought together Larry Mizell and Large Professor to talk about the history of these two songs and to find out how they're connected. So my first question is to Mr. Mizell, which is, what do you remember about creating Think Twice and working with Donald Byrd?
Well, one of my writers, Sadidi, he and I got together working on the song, and it basically made the cut of what we were going to track at our next session, and we felt good about it. And I do remember we were doing a lot of stacked up production where we in studios, and so some of the liner notes only referred to one of the albums we were doing at the same time. So I do remember the listing on that album from the Stepping Into Tomorrow LP that, and I only remember this because I could hear myself, but I'm playing acoustic piano on that album. And it was a Dynamite session. We used the regular guys, Harvey Mason, Chuck Rainey, of course. And then we had David T. Walker on. Yeah, Harvey Mason, Chuck.
It's all.
David T. Walker on guitars. And we also used John Rowan on guitar. Sometimes we'd have double guitars. Fonce, I believe, was playing D6 Honor Clav. Stephanie Sproula was our percussionist. She was in a separate booth, and that was basically it, just straight track, and we would just jam, and even though we knew the vinyl limitations, we would get in there, and we'd run those tracks to, like, you know, sometimes 7 minutes, and everybody was digging it. Everybody was grooving, and it was just the enthusiasm. They didn't even want to stop, and that was kind of how we worked with it. a loose reins on the guys once we would go through each section. Each of the songs were broken down, not in the typical fashion, music chart-wise. We would take a chart and break it down into the different sections and call them A, B, C, and D, say. So we would have four or five different sections. So when we got to the studio and everybody was cool, settled in and warmed up, we would take it through each section. We said, okay, let's work on section A. And we would just play section A over and over until everybody was grooving and verted to them and to their brain. And then we said, okay, let's do the next section, B, C, D, and E. And so they were all different sections. And then Arthur and I would tell them, say, look, okay, now you know the different sections. You don't know when we're going to call for a certain section. So mm-hmm. be ready for that. That's why we did this long rehearsal. So that's how we got around having a typical arrangement where you just have four times part A and you go to the bridge and then you just do the standard thing. So we would mix it up mm-hmm. like that, which gave us a more spontaneous feel, we thought. So that's how we worked. And so every time, and Fonz and I would just be cueing each other as far as what section where we should go. We would just be doing hand signals or with our eyes, vibes back and forth while we were conducting and playing. And the guys dug it. They dug it. Most of the sessions in Hollywood were pretty much scripted by the rules. But we were looking for that spontaneity. Mm-hmm. Not that anybody didn't, but that was our approach.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Large Professor, tell us the story of the making of Looking at the Front Door. How you discovered Think Twice, etc.
Yeah, well, I mean, coming up, the records were toys to us. So, you know, as children, we messing with the record, and then it actually turned into something valid where it's like, all right, these guys in the park messing with these records and making new records out of them. So once it became that, it was a mission for my generation to find these records and to somehow be unique at the same time. I mean, we all had the same records. We all had all these different, you know, so it was like everyone was using at the time James Brown, Funky Drummer, or, you know, and it kind of started, just the sound became the same. So everyone was like, man, I'm going to spin off here. I'm going to do this. And I was part of that crew that wanted to use something unique. So we went to the jazz genre. My father, like I said, from day one, we were listening to all of y'all productions. I mean, Johnny Guitar Watson, all of that stuff, man. All that good stuff, man. We was listening. So when it came time for me to, I was already, you know, I went through my channels and got there where, you know, I was making a record now. So like just trying to be different going into the jazz record and like Think Twice, it was because first of all, it was unique. It was a unique loop and I knew what it was like, and people weren't daring. That was a daring loop. Because, I mean, it, not really that daring, but it was daring to use something outside of James Brown at that time. So, I mean, but just the soul and all that jazz in there, man, it was like, man, we going with this. And, you know, they worked it out and we blend all the rest of the records in. And for that time, I'm just so thankful. And it's funny because you mentioned that Mr. Donald Byrd was working at Howard, and around the time of Looking at the Front Door with Main Source, he was working up the block at Queens College.
Right, you're right. He expanded his college.
Yeah.
He's going everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. And
So
lots of times he would talk and give lectures at his various schools, which were largely his life experiences. And he would discuss some theory but he would describe the life that he lived, which was very you learned from that even more. He really stuck.
Absolutely.
He was
absolutely. So I was on Casino Boulevard, and right up the block on Casino Boulevard, Mr. Donald Byrd was teaching. I had met one of his students, while I was, I was on the rise with Main Source for Looking at the Front Door, and she actually played it for him. And she was like, yo, this is my friend. This is his record. And he gave me his blessings.
Oh, wow.
Which I was so happy. Like, he gave me his blessings. He was like, yo, that's all right right there. And this is all just so, I'm happy. I'm honored, man. It's respect, man. Like, salute for sure. That music right there, it filled all types of generations. I'm still actually playing that music for the next generations. They love it. So, I mean, like, that's, man, yo, God bless, man. Like, that's forever, man. We here, man. That's good, man. Good for life, for sure.
What about the lyrics? Did the lyrics come after you had produced the track? Did you have those lyrics already?
Yeah, because the tracks, a lot of the tracks, like, so what I used to try to do was if a song or a beat was too happy, I'd try to counter it with, like, something like bring it down a little bit more. So, you know, I found out just recently, but back then I didn't know. But like I'm more of a, like, a blues rapper, like a blues rap songwriter, I would describe myself as, you know. So I was more into, you know, I didn't want to make the people dance like, yeah, everybody dance. I was more like wanting to write a story about a problem going on. Or like, you know, I was rebelling, 19, 20 years old. I want to go out here, raise my fist and kind of speak and raise, you know. So that was the thing. So the beat was so groovy, and it was like, all right, I gotta blues it out with some blues rap on it. Then, yo, it's you know, to this day, it's just an honor and privilege to speak, man, speak to you, man. It's that music is it drove me, it's still driving me, man. Like I'm good, man. I'm good. I ain't got nothing to say.
Thank you, man. Back at you. And that particular record, man, was so clever. You know, a guy said, listen, you're forcing me to look at the front door.
Yeah.
I don't want to go there, but, you know.
Right, exactly, right. Right. I mean, for me to be so young, man, I figured out after I did some, you know, did a little bit of history, man. I'm like, I was born to be a blues rapper for a minute. So that's what it was. And, yo, to this day, just like Think Twice, man, that song lives and gets love, man. So I'm just happy to have that bestowed upon me and to keep it moving on, man. It's just a blessing, man, for real. Thank you. Yeah, for sure. Keeping it, getting it and keeping it, passing it on. Well, getting it and passing it on, for sure. Yeah, that's it.
Mr. Mizell, what are your thoughts about that, about how these songs take on a second life in a different genre? What are your thoughts about that?
Man, I loved it. I embraced the hip hop when it first was emerging as a new art form. And it was just a continuation of influences that propel our lives. And then it was so relevant. From some of the first records, I remember the Fresh Prince, the record.
Oh, the Touch of Jazz. Yeah. Woo! They used like two or three of y'all joints in there, man.
Yeah, and when I was listening to it, I was saying, because nobody really understood, we didn't have the Akai samplers or any of those things prominent at the time. We were pretty much acoustic. And we heard these songs in there like that, and it was just a new thing. And we loved it. We loved it. It just propelled, it's all a common theme of life. And then the sampling itself, we dug that so much because the spirit of life is born forth by the youngsters. And the fact that they were reaching back was so.
Yeah, that's a whole new, it's like reset almost, like a whole new life now, like, and right. Through sampling. Like, yeah, that's cool.
I have to add to that my great uncle was a gentleman by the name of Andy Razoff. And if you look him up, he was responsible for dozens and dozens and dozens of he was a lyricist of songs that came out, everybody from Sarah Vaughan to Frank Sinatra. From the early 1900s, you can look him up, R-A-Z-A-F. There's a book on
R-A-Z-A-N.
A-S-R-E-F.
Okay. R-E-Z-E-F. Yeah. Wow, that's cool.
And he...
Wow. So were y'all brothers inspired by that? Like, did you... I mean, because my mother had a distant uncle named Tab Smith from St. Louis. And he was a saxophonist. And like, you know, just hearing his name, and she's like, my Uncle Tab and these kind of things, like I always kind of had an uprightness like with music where I knew I came from some kind of... Like, did that happen for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And just as I was moving to L.A., he had passed. He passed. And Florence got a chance to talk with him. And she was good friends with the family. He had moved to L.A. And he was a very successful, like I said, there's a book on him on called Black and Blue.
Oh, man.
So inspiration is everything.
Salute. Yeah.
This is kind of off topic, but I'm just interested because it just was really surprising to hear that you did all that work with NASA. So you must know Herbie, and Herbie had an engineering degree from Grinnell, Herbie Hancock.
Right. Herbie dropped into the technology as well.
Yeah.
Is it Tom Brown like into also like?
He reminded me of that when he came out. His
Jamaica funk.
Jamaica funk.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Funk from Jamaica. Yeah.
Funk from Jamaica, right.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you that also because at the time, like, what were y'all guys listening to that inspired y'all? Like, I would imagine around that time, I think, later in the years, like, were y'all into like Nile Rodgers and Chic and that kind of movement?
Oh, big time. Niles and the boys.
Someone was telling me like to, because I just felt like an accord. Like it was like y'all were working together to like get everybody, you know, going and getting them good chords to everybody the right way, like, you know, the community for sure.
Right. Yeah. We dug with Niles, was doing with Chic. And, yeah. The originality of the work and the grooves were hard, and we never met. And we would come back to New York and hang out with the folks. Eventually, we moved them to L.A., but we would go back to New York. By this time, we had moved to New Jersey, to Englewood, right across.
Oh man! Boston. Oh man! Yeah.
And we dug where Niles and Bernard were. Where they were coming from.
And Large Professor, what's your feeling about the legacy of Looking at the Front Door?
Oh, man, I love it, man. I'm glad to have, you know, gotten in there, man. And, you know, because hip-hop was hard, man. Like, you know, with music, it's like, you know, you get in there, you get a certain soul and spirit to it, and you could translate that through the chords, you good. Like, you know, hip hop was like, it was a lot of gang and street stuff. Like, you know, you could, so I was just happy, man, to get my voice heard and to be able to, in the industry, kind of like, at that time, do what the industry was doing. And yo, just all the richness, my father and, you know, these brothers, like, they, you know, they all poured into me, man. So I'm good for life, man. For real. I'm good for life, man. For real. Wow. Respect.
And that's the story of how Think Twice by Donald Byrd, produced by Larry Mizell, became Looking at the Front Door by Main Source, featuring Large Professor. You can follow Large Professor on Instagram at xplargepro. You've been listening to Evolutions Per Minute. I'm your host, Dan Seif. Tune in for more episodes of this podcast, and don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. Evolutions Per Minute is produced by Stephen Ray, Christian Brune, DJ Khalil, and Autovita Studios, and edited by Sean Hettinger. If you like this podcast, you can hear me every week on my radio show, Excursions Radio, on KJAZZ 88.1 FM in Los Angeles, where I play hip-hop and jazz. You can also stream the show anywhere in the world at kkjz.org. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Evolutions Per Minute, and you can follow me on Instagram at Chief Seif.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.